From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
The fruit in your life is intended not for self-actualization or some sort of psychological personality uplifting. It is intended to come into your life to bless other people and to reach God's goals in His world. The fruit includes the work of our hands for others. It includes work for justice and mercy. It includes sharing the gospel with others. It includes sharing your life with others. To make a difference in this world, how is that difference being lived out in your life?
The Bible declares faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton continues our series, Life on the Vine, with a message entitled, The Fruitful Life. Have you ever walked through a vineyard, an orange grove, or a field of strawberries at harvest time? The sweet aroma fills the air as you're surrounded by an abundance of ripe, delicious fruit. Well, God takes delight in His children as we grow toward maturity in Christ, increasingly manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and live genuinely fruitful lives for His glory. The Bible text for today is from John chapter 15. Verses 4 through 6. Here again is Dr. Mike Milton with today's message entitled, The Fruitful Life.
We come now to the reading of the Word of God, and we will return to John chapter 15, but I want you to come with me first of all to see the Old Covenant people in the book of Amos, an Old Testament prophet. And I like to call Amos the country preacher who came to town, because he identifies himself as a farmer, a fig farmer, as well as a shepherd from Tekoa, from the south. And he has been called by God to go to the northern kingdom and to go to the religious and the political leadership of the northern kingdom to say, though you have claimed to be gods and to have made your home with God, He is not making His home with you, because you are disobedient and there is no fruit in your life. In fact, there is the fruit of evil. And in this, you're going to hear a warning, and in this, you're going to hear Amos's word of encouragement. Chapter 5 of Amos, verse 11. I am delighted, honored, and privileged this morning to stand between heaven and earth and declare to you, this morning you will be hearing the Word of God. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Now that's the Old Covenant people. You need to live with the Lord. There needs to be fruit coming from that, or there are dire consequences. Now, when we turn then to the new covenant people in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, we have a similar scene. Except this time we have Jesus speaking into the lives, into the quivering hearts and anxious minds of beleaguered disciples who are going to have to live through what we have called the greatest crisis in the history of the world. The anticipation for the physical coming of the kingdom of God is not working out like they thought. And in fact, Jesus is going to go to a cross and they are going to be dispersed. And Jesus speaks a word of encouragement as well as a word of warning into their lives. Chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. This morning I want to focus on verse 4. It was December 1977. It was the Orange Bowl coming up. It was going to be Coach Lou Holtz and the Arkansas Razorbacks against the mighty Oklahoma Sooners. I got to be careful the way I tell this story because I have Oklahoma people in here who are going to talk to me about this illustration later. Here's the situation. Arkansas had lost a lot of its star players because of bad grades and bad behavior. And Coach Lou Holtz is a no-nonsense type of guy. So he said, you're not going to play in the Orange Bowl. They went to practice and they were listless. The Razorbacks looked like runt pigs. And Lou Holtz says, we got a problem. You see, all of the newspapers had said, this thing is over. They've lost their star players. Arkansas is going to get creamed by Oklahoma. It doesn't matter how great a coach Lou Holtz is. And this is all that was going around, and the players were just feeding off of that, and as a result, they believed it. Lou Holtz got them in the locker room. He said, everyone is telling us what we lack. I want, before we walk out of this room, I want you to tell me what we have. He got no response. He said, I'm not kidding. We're not leaving here and we're not going to play in the Orange Bowl until someone stands up and says, here's what we have. And one guy stood up and he said, well, coach, said we still got a good place kicker. Okay, I'll take that. Another one says, well, coach, even though we lost a lot of our offensive line, we have one of the best defenses in the nation. Another one stood up and he pointed over to his buddy and said, we got one of the greatest quarterbacks right there. The quarterback says, we got one of the best wide receivers right over there. And pretty soon, that's what was going on. And that's exactly what Holtz wanted. The score, I'm going to check it because I don't want to get in trouble. That's what I thought. Arkansas 31, Oklahoma 6. You know, sometimes we need to know what we have because the world tells us what we lack. I talked to a little boy not too long ago right here in church in these halls. It was one of those conversations where I said, how you doing, son? Oh, good. How's school going? Well, I'm not a great student. What? Yeah, I'm just not that great a student. And I tried to encourage him because there he was, a bright fellow, a bright lad with a smile. And I said, no, I said, you've got a lot, son. I said, you're a good student. You're a good young boy. God's hand's on you. The world tells us what we don't have, but God tells us what we have. Some of you have come to me and said, My job is one of the worst places on earth. I have problems working there because of the language, because of the attitudes. Well, what do you have? What are you bringing into it? Why has God placed you there? Sometimes we murmur and we complain and say, we live in an America that's so much different than the America I knew growing up. And how can we be Christians in a world like this? That's exactly the kind of question Jesus Christ was addressing in the hearts and minds of His beleaguered disciples on that fateful night. He wanted to show them what they had. He gave a warning. He gave a warning the way Amos gave a warning. That if there wasn't fruit, and we've dealt with this before, if there wasn't fruit with their life, that's just dead wood and it's got to be cleared out. And it becomes a metaphor for being eternally separated from God. Do you know, boys and girls, all of you, do you know that you got to be connected to the source of true life here in order to have eternal life when you die? And if you don't have Jesus Christ, then you're going to be separated eternally from God. And that is the gospel truth. And as hard as that is, we've got to say it. But Jesus also says, abide in me. If you have the NIV, it will say, remain in me. There's some Greek words that are hard to translate exactly. And the Greek word meno is one of those. Etymologists look at this word who study the ancient Greek, and some of them say, well, it means abide. Some say, well, it kind of means remain. Others says it means to keep remaining, to keep on abiding forever in something. But I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrased it in his book, The Message. He says of verse 4, live with me and I'll make my home with you. The world tells you what you lack. Jesus Christ wants to tell you what you have. And that's the first thing. You have a home in Jesus Christ. He was telling them that even though my body is going to be